Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
What's going on, Dirty Dirty?
It's DA on CBS Sports Radio.
DA, how you feeling, bro?
Man, I'm feeling great.
I'm doing great.
Happy Monday, boys and girls. One question only. How do you feel?
Well, I feel good and I'm doing well.
Hey, that's all that really matters. Coming your way this hour on the show in 30 minutes, Jared Greenberg, NBA on TNT and NBA TV. Bradley Beal is headed to Phoenix as a member of the Suns. Where does that put the Suns in terms of a chase for a championship, their first ever in franchise history? They're still seeking, much like what we just saw the Nuggets do last week. Also, we'll ask him about the other dominoes this offseason. Could Damian Lillard end up somewhere else like the Miami Heat? That's coming up this morning on the show with Jared Greenberg in 30 minutes. Also, I want to read to you a statement from the Indianapolis Colts as we commemorate Juneteenth today. The Colts wrote, "We commemorate an incredible milestone in our nation's history. Juneteenth is a day that holds immense significance as we reflect on the journey towards freedom and equality. On this day, we remember and celebrate the emancipation of enslaved African Americans in the United States. It serves as a reminder of the progress we've made and the work still ahead to achieve true justice and equality for all. Together, we can build a society that embraces diversity, fosters inclusion, and affirms the humanity of every individual. Join us in celebrating Juneteenth as we continue to educate ourselves, engage in meaningful conversations, and promote inclusivity and inequality in all aspects of our lives. Happy Juneteenth from the Indianapolis Colts." I think that that was well said. Well stated, and I'm glad that they put that out. Certainly feel the same way here at Odyssey, as it is a holiday for the company, although we are working here on the show. But certainly a day of remembrance and a day just to celebrate inclusion. And I believe in that very, very, very seriously. It's what Bob's Bar is all about. It's a place where everybody gets to show up, no judgment, and as long as you're there for the right purposes, we are happy to have you there no matter what. And I think that's kind of the beauty of this show, that a lot of people from a lot of different demographics and a lot of different backgrounds across the country feel a kinship with the show and what we do every morning. And that means a great deal to me. And even if I don't always express it, and sometimes the show can veer off into ridiculous places, I do want that to still be the heartbeat of this show, that it is a place where everybody should feel welcome and feel safe. And no matter where you come from, no matter who you are, no matter demographics, place, whatever, it doesn't matter. So I think that the Colts kind of got a good one there in how they described Juneteenth, and hopefully it is something that people keep in mind today. This David Freese story I found really interesting, and I found it interesting because I don't think, and I know that this is oftentimes said in sports without people really thinking, haven't ever seen that before. But I really thought about this, and aside from a few exceptions for different reasons, I don't think I've ever seen this before. David Freese was a third baseman for the St. Louis Cardinals. He played first base as well and played for the Cardinals for six seasons from 2009 through 2014. For five seasons. And he only made one All-Star game. That was 2012. He then had a couple of years in L.A. with the Angels, played for a couple of years for the Pirates, and then wrapped up with the Dodgers. He had a nice career, 11 years, but by and large, a pretty nondescript career. He was not a over-the-top hitter. He certainly wasn't known for his power. He certainly wasn't known for anything otherworldly. He just was a very solid player, specifically for the Cardinals. But would be completely forgotten to history, aside from hardcore Cardinals fans, unless he had two of the biggest hits in franchise history. And namely, the World Series against the Texas Rangers when the Cardinals were down two runs in the ninth inning with two outs and two strikes. And Freeze lifted that drive to right field where the Rangers kind of seemingly misplayed it. And two runs scored on the hit, tied things up, and the Cardinals will go on to win that game. That is one of the most famous hits, I think, one of the most famous plays of the last 25 years in the World Series. It completely altered the World Series. Cardinals will go on to win the championship. Rangers still without a championship. And David Freese was at the center of all these clutch hits for the Cardinals during those years. And his numbers are not eye-popping. He only had 1,041 hits in his career. Again, only played 5 years for the St. Louis Cardinals. Had 113 home runs over the course of his entire career and hit .277. One All-Star game. These are not the numbers that you associate with a team's Hall of Famer. And the Cardinals nominated him for the Hall of Fame, and the Cardinals fans voted him into the Cardinals Hall of Fame. And he was going to be honored by the Cardinals, and David Freese declined. Now, you might see this from people that say, I've been overlooked for so long, I'm bitter that you guys didn't recognize me sooner. That happens. You might see a player at odds with a team because he was traded, because he was at war with the owner over contract and doesn't want to be honored by that team because there's bad blood. We've seen that. But that's not the case with David Freese. Freese is an ambassador for the team and says his time with the Cardinals is an honor. His time with the Cardinals fans is an honor, and that he considers himself a Cardinal, and he'll always be part of the franchise. So there is nothing that he's angry about. It's not that he feels overlooked. It's not that this took too long. So to this degree, I've never seen this. David Freese doesn't want to be a Cardinals Hall of Famer because he doesn't view himself as a Hall of Famer. He looked around at the Cardinals Hall of Fame and saw Stan Musial, and Ozzie Smith, and Albert Pujols, and guys like that, and said, I don't belong. Now, have you ever heard of that? When guys who aren't that great get voted in to things that might be above their talent or above their accomplishments, no one ever says no thanks. You're like, oh man, this is great, I'll take it. Because what else is there for David Freese? He's not going to Cooperstown. David Freese won't be an all-time legend doing this, that, and the other thing in terms of autograph signing. David Freese will, again, be largely forgotten to time. And yet, here he is with, this is the highest honor he can have. He's not going to be in Cooperstown. He's not going to be a baseball legend. He wouldn't make the team Hall of Fame for the Dodgers, the Pirates, or the Angels. Maybe he would make his high school Hall of Fame or his hometown's Hall of Fame, but the biggest honor he can have is being a Cardinals Hall of Famer. And he said, I can't do it. I can't accept it. I've got to take myself out of the running. And I just thought, in today's sports world, really forever, I mean, this is kind of going back to 100 years when we started organized professional sports here in the States. To show that much humility? That much humility. To be like, I just don't belong in that class. I can't accept this. Have you ever seen an MVP say, I didn't deserve this? An all-star go, I can't be an all-star this year. This is not right. Something that goes their way for a fan vote or a media vote because they're a popular person. And just be like, you know, I wasn't as good as they're making it out to be. I can't really do this. That never happens. And I literally reread the story multiple times this weekend to figure if I had missed something. I went to multiple places where the story was written, and then ultimately the Cardinals beat reporter to see if I was missing something. Like, again, he was at odds with the process. He was at odds with the organization, whether he wasn't proud of the way that he handled himself back then, so he felt guilty about something. And no, it just came down to he did not feel equal to the other Cardinals Hall of Famers. Well, David Free stands alone. I've never heard of this. There are guys that get into Hall of Fames all the time where we're like, wow, he's getting in? They never say, I can't do this. Harold Baines? Did he get voted into Cooperstown and go, nah, I'm not really on that level? Of course not. He took the honor, went to Cooperstown, and now he's going to sign autographs forever that says Harold Baines, HOF. Whoever says no to this stuff? I saw the story and I was like, I don't know if we'll ever see this again because I don't remember ever seeing this. And I could be wrong. If you've got an example of this, I'm all ears. I read the story and said, I don't think I've ever seen this happen. Who has ever done this?
Yeah, I mean, let's just be honest. So if David Freese was elected to Cooperstown, I don't think he's turning it down. I think it's the idea it's the Cardinals Hall of Fame.
Really?
Yeah, I also got the impression from everything I heard and read that he will go into the Cardinals Hall of Fame down the line. But there was belief in St. Louis that he did not feel like he should be voted in by fans before we've gotten to the point that Wainwright and Molina could both go in. That basically playing, it's almost disrespectful to the much better teammates he had on those teams to be in ahead of those guys.
So you think ultimately?
Ultimately, I think he will be there years down the line.
So he'll be cool with this in 15 years.
But he didn't even, as an ambassador to the team, feel comfortable with, they're going to sell tickets to have, you know, salute me as part of this Hall of Fame day one day for them this year or next year, whatever it ended up being, before the guys who were way more important to those teams that were so special to me get in.
Still, it's amazing.
It is amazing. It's humbling to not just take the quick, hey, I'm going out there and doing this. Because me, I'd be the first one running up there, and I'd want my thing above Stan Musial's.
Because you wouldn't know if you were ultimately going to get in. You don't know what the future holds. And I've said this before. I think there's way too many names in the Yankees Monument Park. There's way too many names in there. That the Yankees have this really special aura that if you kept it limited and scarce, those legends, they have enough of them.
I disagree with that.
Okay, but let me have my take first. There's enough of them to where Monument Park used to be Babe Ruth, Lou Gehrig, and I'm missing one.
DiMaggio?
No, I think it was Miller Huggins or something like that. And then it was DiMaggio. But again, it was so unique. And now you guys got Pettit. You guys got Bernie Williams, who was a recent guest of New York Accent. But, I mean, you have a lot of guys that were really good, but they were not Mantle, DiMaggio, Yogi Berra, Ruth and Gehrig. So I think the Yankees have enough. You know, it's not like the Diamondbacks where you have to kind of like make sure this guy's in because you don't have a lot of them. So I think you can make it scarce. For the Cardinals, I mean, maybe there's a guarantee that he gets in one day, but maybe not. So I think that this is amazing that David Freese would say, I can't do this. I think it's amazing. It's an amazing show of grace.
Yeah, I do. I agree that it is an amazing. I just think there is still a difference between the Baseball Hall of Fame and your team's Hall of Fame. Like, David Freese probably is a St. Louis Cardinals team Hall of Famer because he was part of that really great era and such an important part. Like, Bernie Williams should be in the Yankees Monument Park, even if he's not Babe Ruth, because he's part of that era. There should be a difference between team Hall of Fame and like the elite of the elite. We've watered down the sport Hall of Fame more than the team Hall of Fame.
Do you think that everybody in Monument Park is deserving. With the
yes,
Yankees.
I do. I do. And I don't think that because Bernie Williams and Andy Pettit were lesser Yankees than Babe Ruth or Lou Gehrig or in the great realm of the sport doesn't mean they're not Yankee Hall of Famers in the importance of the franchise.
Well, I guess that's where I would say, couldn't there be a Monument Park without being a Yankee Hall of Famer? Is every Yankee Hall of Famer have a monument?
Well, that's the thing. They don't have a Yankee Hall of Fame. They have Monument Park, so it serves as the Hall of Fame. Like, you're talking about the team has had four of the most iconic players in baseball history.
Yeah.
Keep Andy Pettit out of the Baseball Hall of Fame with the likes of those guys. But in the realm of the Yankee Hall of Fame, just the same thing with David Freese in the Cardinal Hall of Fame, I think that that's fine.
I don't know. If Pettit's in there, doesn't that start making a pretty blurry line?
Well, Pettit was a great Yankee, but he was not a great Major League Baseball player of all time. I do think there's a difference.
There is a difference. But, I mean, you've had a lot of players, I feel like, that have been Andy Pettit line.
Andy Pettit might be one of the best postseason pitchers of all time. And you'll be the first one tripping all over yourself next week if you get offered him for New York accent.
Well, yes, I would.
And glossing him about being a Monument Park, by the way. How did that feel to have that honor, Andy? And by the way, a bird pooped on me when David Wells threw a perfect game. Nobody's ever heard that story.
Did I ever tell that story? David Freese, in 2011, hit the game-tying triple to keep the Cardinals' season alive, two outs, bottom of the ninth in game six, then won the game with a walk-off home run to the bottom of the 11th, and then the Cardinals won game seven, and he was named World Series MVP. And was named NLCS MVP that year as well. So David Freese was NLCS and World Series MVP.
So tell me how he's not a Cardinal Hall of Famer.
Well, I'll put it this way.
Okay.
Hold with me. Hold with me. Who was the 86 World Series MVP?
Ray Knight.
It was Ray Knight. Now, is Ray Knight a Mets Hall of Famer?
He should be.
Yeah, he should be.
He's not, how, but he should be.
I don't know. He had, like, what, two good seasons?
But right. These championships are so hard to come by. If, you know, the Mets have two world championships in life, one of their World Series MVPs is in a Met Hall of Famer? But we're going to celebrate, what, 9 years of being great on teams that didn't win it all?
I don't know. I do feel like longevity with a team is one of the earmarks of, yeah, being a Hall of Famer for that team.
But that doesn't mean that David Freese or Ray Knight need their numbers retired, but they could be part of the team's Hall of Fame. You know right. What I mean? There's another level of...
In Monument Park, are those numbers retired?
So they have two separate things. The numbers retired and then, like, the plaques. Andy Pettit, you could argue 46 shouldn't be retired, but the guy should have a plaque back there.
So is Andy Pettit's 46 retired?
Yes. That you won't have an issue with? Fine. They retired too many numbers.
Yeah.
Not that they've had too many people in Monument Park. David Freese shouldn't have his Cardinals number retired, but he should be a Cardinal Hall of Famer.
All right. Well, what I would do if I was running the Yankees is I would limit the monuments, and then I would make a Yankees Hall of Fame. And no doubt Bernie Williams and Andy Pettit could be in the Yankees Hall of Fame, but not have monuments and not have their numbers retired.
Boy, we need a Hall of Fame, monuments, and numbers. How many things do the Yankees need out there?
The Yankees.
Jeez.
They're the Yankees. There's the Yankees, the Lakers, the Celtics, and the Canadians. And those are the teams that should have five guys that have their numbers retired. There's five of them. And then everybody else can be in the team Hall of Fame. And then if you're, I guess, baseball, you have monuments.
I mean, we're getting how much time you got before a game to get out there and see all that?
No, that's the point. There should only be five monuments to see.
Come on, Dad. We need to get there 2 hours early. We got to go through the Hall of Fame, the monuments, and the numbers.
Well, who would be a good example? Like, with the Padres, Tony Gwynn should have his number retired and should have a statue. So that would be the equivalent of a monument. Trevor Hoffman, same thing. But Ken Caminiti, who won an MVP, should not have a statue and a monument, not just because of the steroids, but because he wasn't at that level.
Right. He should just be in the Hall of Fame. Him next to Steve Finley. Right, exactly.
Steve Finley. Thank you.
Exactly.
Yes.
Exactly. Or Bochy.
Andy Ashby, right there.
When we come back on the show, we'll do some NBA offseason. Jared Greenberg, NBA on TNT next. DA, CBS Sports Radio.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai. There's joy in every journey.
Choose your weapon. Peeps with salsa or a kielbasa to the face. The DA Show on CBS Sports Radio.
You can listen to us on hundreds of affiliates nationwide and also on SiriusXM, channel 158. Originally, Yankee Stadium built in 1923. Center field. The center field fence was 500 feet.
Not far at all.
500 feet.
Come on.
To center field. And they had the short porch at right for Babe Ruth. But it was a 500-foot shot to center field, and there was a flagpole. And balls would never go that far. So when Yankees manager Miller Huggins, I was right, died suddenly in 1929, that was the first monument. He died suddenly, 29. So they put a monument in front of the flagpole. Again, that's 500 feet away, and it looked like a headstone. And so that was the first monument, and balls would rarely, if ever, go out there. Then, in the 30s, they moved the center field fence into 461, short porch and center, 461. And Huggins was placed at the marker. And then that's when they put Lou Gehrig and Babe Ruth out there in the 40s as well. And that was basically it. There was the three monuments. And then they started doing the whole song and dance. Mantle got out there. DiMaggio. I think there was an Ed Barrow in there. Then Yogi Berra and Bill Dickey. And then after all those, they had to do the renovations of the 70s, and then it was not in the field of play anymore. But once upon a time, a batted ball would go out to the monuments and rattle around out there around Ruth and Gehrig and Miller Huggins monuments out at 500 feet.
So stupid.
It's 460.
Even like the Canadian Football League, can we move the goalposts back? Why? Why would you make life more difficult?
Well, I think that that's really quaint and cool. That at one point in time, a baseball ballpark had monuments in the field of play? Now, that seems like it's kind of like
the mountain in Houston in center field?
Well, that one was made to be kind of shticky. But how about the polo grounds, where you basically had to run the length of a polo field to center field? Which is what makes the Willie Mays catch so amazing.
Right. Didn't you have the groundskeeper that lived there? And yeah, that was a whole thing.
Yeah, that was last year when we did the PGPs last summer about something that we like or we know about.
That's right, the side C's.
That was the side C's. And Pete did wrestling. And Bogish did Dave Matthews' Band with the Caserta. And I did old ballparks. And I spoke to... Or no, I didn't speak to the person. I spoke to the host of the podcast, Lost Ballparks. And he spoke to the son of the groundskeeper of the Polo Grounds who lived in an apartment in the Polo Grounds. And this kid grew up as a kid living at the Polo Grounds.
Imagine that was today. Tough to get Uber Eats in there.
Real tough. Bogish has headlines.
DA, when we do trade Sean to Tucson, we better get back more than the Wizards are getting for Bradley Beal. Washington probably...
Although the contracts are both kind of the same. They're difficult to move.
This is true. Washington probably will not keep Chris
Paul. Not a lot of takers.
So it's Landry Shamet and six Jock Alone's worth of second-round picks.
Do we
and
get
pick
more
swaps
than Landry Shamet?
I hope so. Who's the Landry Shamet of Tucson radio that we can take back?
Some offensive lineman from the Arizona Wildcats in Rich Rodriguez years.
What was that linebacker name with the weird first name? Like Scooby something? Scooby Wright?
Scooby Wright.
Yeah,
let's take him.
Yeah, we'll take Scooby Wright. Yeah.
I'll take it.
Definitely.
The Suns now
he's
pair.
He's cutting tape tomorrow night.
Now pair Beal.
Today.
With KD, Booker, and DeAndre Ayton. That's four players on various forms of max contracts. The Clippers or another team might get involved now to land CP3 in a three-team swap. And the Hornets, who have the second pick on Thursday, reportedly working out and interviewing Scoot Henderson and Brandon Miller for a second time today. Michael Jordan is selling the team. That was announced on Friday, but remains in charge through the start of free agency, so he's expected in attendance today. Rory McIlroy, Scottie Scheffler, Ricky Fowler, the rest of the field, no match yesterday for Wyndham Clark.
It's one of the biggest comeback stories in sports.
Yes, it is, Anne LaGorie. Clark was 293rd in the world a year ago.
Voila.
Now he's a major champ, winning the U.S. Open at LA Country Club by one shot over McIlroy.
It's a story for the ages.
So true, sure, Anne. Clark is sure the fourth player in 100 years to win the Open while making the cut for the very first time.
You know, I hit some great shots coming down at the end, and although I made a couple bogeys and it seemed like maybe the rails were coming off, I was inside pretty calm. So I'm really pleased with myself with how I performed.
You're so funny.
Two things here. Number one, we've had a little bit of parody in golf now. We had the Michael Block situation.
Yeah.
Right? He had a hole in one and was the toast of the town.
Right. Didn't win, though.
Right. Number two, had the Canadian win the Canadian Open.
Correct. Party scenes.
First time in however many years.
That's right.
Nick Thompson.
And now this guy
now
wins
this guy.
In just his sixth start or sixth.
And apparently he's from Denver, so we're throwing him on top of the Nuggets and the Avalanche.
Oh.
So he's part of that surge, too.
That's right. So parody there. Number two, what's this guy's name?
Wyndham Clark.
Wyndham Clark says that's when the rails came off.
Oh.
Isn't it you come off the rails?
True. Hmm.
Because it's like a train coming off the rails. The rails can't come off the train.
I mean, that would be bad, too. But the saying is, you came off the rails.
I have definitely heard the rails have come off, but that's also bad that I've heard that.
It's really the doors have come off, right? That's the idea that you're kind of like traveling down the highway too fast. Your car or whatever is rickety and the doors are flying off.
That makes way more sense.
I think that's what that phrase
or the plane doors are coming off, so you can get sucked out of it. But yeah, it's the doors come off, or like I blew the doors off of them.
I blew the doors
like
off.
Like a route, you know, synonym. Yeah. And then there's we came off the rails.
Yeah, blowing the doors off means something big happened.
Yeah.
Or you came off the rails, but the rails can't come off.
Right, it's off the rails, not the rails are right. Oh, man, I've heard both, and this is bad.
Real bad.
My education.
Real bad.
Off the rails with Jack Stern might follow you in Tucson.
Oh, wow. That's not a bad 1-2 punch.
I immediately fly back.
The Yankees lost twice at Fenway yesterday, 6-2 in the afternoon, then 4-1 on Sunday Night Baseball. Aaron Boone's team now 8-13 without the injured Aaron Judge.
We got to find a way right now. This is, you know, we're going through a challenging time right now offensively, and we got to dig ourselves out.
Ow!
Yes, the third out is the best.
The Yanks 1-5 against the Sox so far this season.
Sterling had more outs than the Yankees had runs yesterday in two games.
Ow! Ow! Ow!
The Braves rolled to a 14-6 win over the Rockies after breaking the Culberson family's heart. Michael Harris, the second, went 5-for-5 with a homer, 3 RBI, and 3 runs scored.
Total disgrace.
And the Marlins 4-2 winners in Washington, reaching 10 games over 500 for the first time in 12 seasons. Men's College World Series, Florida held off Oral Roberts last night 5-4. Those Golden Eagles now fall into an elimination game with TCU. The winner faces those Gators. And U.S. men's soccer won its second consecutive Nations League crown, 2-0 over Canada in Vegas. Another banner night for Sin City, which we love to see.
Wow.
The Americans now move on to the Gold Cup, which begins this weekend against Jamaica. D.A., back to you.
Well, thank you, Bogues. Joining us next from the NBA on TNT and NBA TV is our friend to talk about the offseason of the NBA that is now beginning, and that is our friend Jared Greenberg. Jared, good morning.
Why do you lie to your listeners?
How so?
Listening earlier this morning, and you were talking about the statement that was put out, and you said that it's similar to Bob's Bar in that it's a place of inclusion.
That's right.
And it's a safe place.
Yeah.
And I just so happened this weekend to be flipping through social media and looking at the pictures. That is not a safe place for anybody. That is not a safe place. Like, there was things there that were dangerous.
That's actually true. We would love to have you there one year if you were so inclined.
Is Odyssey flying me up?
No, we don't have that budget. No, they won't even send me to the Super Bowl, let alone get your ass up here for Bob's Bar.
Okay.
Another point. Did you see or hear the video of John Sterling getting hit by a baseball in the press box? If not,
I did.
You did? You did?
Yes.
I'm going to play for you anyway.
Ow! Ow! Ow!
Now, you're a guy that's on the sideline. You could be hit by basketballs. You could be kicked by players, etc. What'd you think about John handling the ricochet baseball off the forehead?
Where was anybody else in the booth to step up and, like, put their hand in front of his face to, like, protect the man, you know?
Ow!
84 years old. He's got to take a baseball to the noggin.
I tell you a funny story real quick. This is probably 10 years ago. I'm doing a summer league broadcast in Las Vegas, and I'm the sideline reporter. And the great Rick Mahorn, the bad boy, is calling the game. And in the middle of one of my reports, I get drilled in the head by a ball.
Wow.
And to this day, Rick Mahorn will text me just randomly laughing about that incident that happened 10 years ago, about how funny he still finds it that I got drilled in the head by a basketball.
Basketballs are big. They're heavy. Did it leave you with maybe a minor concussion?
That probably knocked some sense into me.
Okay.
I miss you guys.
Yeah, I miss you too, man. And now the offseason's here. The big first move is Bradley Beal. Do you think that, how do you think the Suns will go about constructing the rest of the roster with all these monster contracts?
Well, yeah. Listen, this is, you know, in terms of offense and putting together superstar power, this is cool. But the next move is the important move for me. And that's going to be they're going to have to trade DeAndre Ayton. Because that's really their only pathway to creating an actual roster. Because I don't know if people in Phoenix recognize this, but you can't just have three guys on the court. And the issue with these three guys is that they're not on the court that often. So you can't just have two guys on the court, right? And if there are three guys on the court, there's still the NBA still has this rule about just one basketball. So
your point is that they take up literally all of the money of a salary cap. Roster.
Yep. And then once you get beyond that, how do you construct a basketball team that can play together? So for me, yes, their next move is their most important move, which was always going to be their most important move, whether they got Bradley Beal or not, which is trading DeAndre Ayton to get back some actual pieces to fill out this roster that complement Durant, Booker, and Beal. And I think their biggest issue right now, say what you want about Chris Paul, but Chris Paul was an unselfish playmaking point guard who was willing to find the strengths of his teammates and put them in the best spots to succeed. They do not have – listen, I love Campaign. He's a really good backup point guard in the NBA. He's not your point guard that you want on a championship-level team, no offense. So they've got to get some pieces back in this DeAndre Ayton deal that complement and are going to be able to maximize this incredible – high octane offense that they're going to put on the court.
Jared Greenberg, NBA on TV, NBA on TNT, and NBA TV joins us. So this begs the question: is it an upgrade to add Bradley Beal as a perimeter scorer, which you have two of, if you have to trade away DeAndre Ayton, who's a big who you don't have a backup of? Do you think this is an upgrade if you have to trade away Ayton?
Listen, I think the argument would be you didn't give up much in terms of. Like talent on your even though I just said what about Chris Paul, there was clearly some friction there. There was clearly an issue of age. There was clearly an issue of injuries. They wanted to move on from Chris Paul. So to get Bradley Beal for Chris Paul and Landry Shamet, who was a guy who didn't crack the rotation for some of the playoffs, that's okay. DeAndre Ayton, there's these other issues, and I don't know whether they would be solved by the fact that they had a coaching staff change or whether it was something more than that. I think they would have needed to move DeAndre Ayton either way. I think they just needed, they need to get more pieces on their roster.
So is the sale price of DeAndre Ayton on the open market, is it intriguing? Is he a guy that can fetch multiple good pieces for the Suns? Is he desirable?
Yeah, I mean, I think there's a few teams out there that really could use a guy like DeAndre Ayton. The two teams that I look to the most are Indiana, the team that wanted him last offseason, and Dallas. Those are the two teams that I think need him the most. I think a team that I'd be really intrigued by that I think could use him, but I don't know if they're in position to get him at this point because they're not ready to win just yet, is Charlotte. I think I look at those three teams right now as the teams that I would keep my closest eye on. I think the teams that probably have the most to help Phoenix win at this point would be Indiana in terms of their pieces. But it's the NBA, so every time you think something's not possible or you say something's unpredictable, something crazy happens within the next 24 hours. So who knows?
Secondly, on the big name front, Damian Lillard and the Miami Heat have been connected. A, do you think that we've seen the last of Lillard in Portland? And B, do you think that that's a good fit?
I do think we've seen the last of Lillard. The difference, and I want to make this very clear to your listeners, the difference between Portland trading Lillard and Washington trading Beal is massive. I think Lillard's a better player. I think Lillard brings better value. But Bradley Beal had the NBA's only no-trade clause, and that's not something that's necessarily negotiated. It's something that's earned. You have to be with a team for a certain amount of time, consecutive years, to earn that right to have a no-trade clause. Even LeBron James does not have a no-trade clause. It's not that it wasn't negotiated. It's just the way it's collectively bargained. So Bradley Beal held it over the Wizards that, listen, you could get a better deal from team A, B, and C, but I want to go to team D, and that's the only team I'm signing off on. Damian Lillard does not have that same power. However, with that said, the Blazers are going to want more in return. And I just don't know that a return of Tyler Hero and Duncan Robinson, or certainly Kyle Lowry, because I don't know what an expiring contract does for Portland right now. I don't know that that return is enough for the Blazers for what they're trying to do.
With the NBA draft coming up here on Thursday, Wembanyama is going to go number one, obviously, to the San Antonio Spurs. And then we have to see who goes number two. And Scoot Henderson is a guy that has gotten some run over the last couple of days. Whether Scoot goes two or three, we'll see. But from what you've seen from him, how do you think he projects at the NBA level?
He's awesome. If this was any other draft, from what I've been told, from what I've heard, he would be right up there in contention for the number one pick. If it wasn't the Victor Wembanyama draft, I think that he would be that good. I got the opportunity to meet Scoot Henderson. He came to our studio in Atlanta a few months ago. Just an impressive young man, and I think the way he's built is he's thick, he's strong, he's mature as a human being. I'm excited for him in the NBA, and I think, you know, whether he plays a true point guard or more of an off guard position, I think he fits today's bill in the NBA with what he can do, and I think a lot of people are excited about him. That's why I think you're going to see so many teams between now and Thursday, and maybe even after Thursday, wherever he goes, there's a chance that teams are going to make a bid to try and trade for him. Teams that are feeling like they're a piece away, teams like New Orleans, are really going to try hard to move up in this draft to get him because they feel like he can make an impact that much that quickly.
It certainly feels like there's more teams than ever that have a chance to win an NBA championship, and perhaps it's because we've seen the Bucks win one and now the Nuggets win one. But have we evolved past the collection of just a few teams that can win, and is that due to this new collective bargaining agreement?
I mean, we haven't even seen that really take shape yet, and that's going to really start to come into play this summer, and it's way too complicated for us to even get into on this show right now. But yeah, the NBA is trying to do a couple of things, mainly trying to avoid what our favorite baseball team is doing right now, the New York Mets, where you just have an owner who's got, you know, limitless money, and in the NBA, that owner is a guy like Steve Ballmer or a guy like James Dolan. where they're just spending, 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 and it's and by the way, Mets, Knicks, and Clippers, it hasn't resulted in a championship either, right? So it's not just how you, it's not just spending money, it's how you spend your money. But then there's more details to it of limiting all this other stuff. I don't know that it's going to limit a dynasty. I just hope, my hope in the end is that, and you and I had this argument 7 years ago, and I'm gonna go to my grave with this argument. I hope that teams get rewarded, or at least don't get punished, for building the right way, which is through the draft or making trades around the fringes that help them become great. And I think teams like the Warriors, with the exception of obviously Kevin Durant, but they were really good without Kevin Durant, and they were really good with after Kevin Durant. I hope those teams continue to get rewarded. And the possibility, like the Nuggets, for example, who've done this for the most part organically, they have a really good chance of being good for a really long time. There are teams now that have to find pieces this summer to compensate for what the Nuggets do.
Mm. It is such an interesting offseason and a good dynamic, an improved dynamic that the NBA, more fan bases, more teams feel like they have more chances to win a championship. The door is open a little wider, which is cool. Jared Greenberg joins us from the NBA on TNT and NBA TV, and you'll be on the draft coverage coming up here, right?
Yeah, I'll do our draft pre and post show on NBA TV from our studios in Atlanta. We'll have some great guys who know a whole lot about these college and international players, so I'm looking forward to it.
Well, hopefully that's a safe zone for you. Hopefully that's not as dangerous as Bob's Bar.
Well, yeah, I mean, I don't have to have a permission slip signed to be on this show. I don't have to worry about drowning. I don't have to worry about swallowing my own tongue. I don't have to worry about somebody projectile vomiting on me. There's all these things that make it a lot safer than Bob's Bar.
Thank you, Jared.
Well, you're welcome. I'll see you guys in 6 months.
Jared Greenberg joining us this morning on the show. And we come back, Advanced Analytics and your epic fail, DA, CBS Sports Radio.
Even the DA show is not perfect. We know. Shocking. Here's the epic fail.
Boyle got oil, but now he's taking shrapnel.
I got a text from somebody who used to work here that said, I'm tired of hearing about Boyle's athleticism after seeing him with his shirt off.
Well,
then the follow-up text was, talk about unimpressive.
that was a minor surprise of the day.
Now, did that come from an unimpressive athletic-looking guy?
Yeah, oh, for sure.
Good point.
I'll just say it was Joey Waller. Breaking bad news for Joey Waller.
Pete, what are you doing?
Oh, Waller's taking a
Waller run? Said, talk about unimpressive. He said, droopy moves, not exactly what you picture with the shirt off.
Coming from a bottle of homogenized milk.
And Otis Miller on Twitch is not going to lie, I thought the same thing.
Yeah, I mean, Boyle is not in his Northwoods League peak
anymore. No.
He's let it slip since hardball summer college baseball in Milwaukee.
And just like Mraz was running out of pages in his fat journal.
He said he started drinking and eating everything inside that he was not going to be cut for. No, he took his shirt off. We're like, oh, okay.
That's a Sean defense. I had one bad day of eating, and I'm no longer Schwarzenegger?
No, I think he said, I got one bad day of eating, so I'm not going to try anymore. Maybe it was Memorial Day weekend. Yeah, it was Memorial Day weekend. He said he ate and drank his way through the weekend. So
What's he done? Eat nothing but ice cream since then? I mean,
like you all have breathed extra life into Bob's Bar.
He's not that bad. No, he's not that bad.
He just wasn't cut. We thought we were going to get, like, a ripped.
No, I mean, when you hear the trials and tribulations of Boyle sending the girls home with the signed baseballs, you just, you know, you expect a little more than that.
Yeah, you want an ab or two, some definition.
Right. To me, it was more body to oil. That's the way I
You're making him out to be like he looked like Sean.
Well, yeah, no, it was, yeah, what?
Oh, no, I mean, still trade places with him physically, but I...
Now it's 1-1, and I know why. Wow, man, hey, hey, because I got high. Because I got high.
I was expecting to feel worse physically when he took his shirt off, and I didn't.
Epic fail, you loser.
That is why you fail.
Epic fail.
Speaking of, your poll question of the day. What was your favorite moment from Bob's Bar? Was it the Belch and Bassa? Was it the Canadian National Anthem? Was it Oiling Boyle, or was it Gel parking cars? There was a clear-cut winner. And it was not the one I expected. Zach L. Parking Cars with 44% of the vote. Belch and Bassa got 29% of the vote. Oiling Boyle got 23%, and Canadian National Anthem got 4%. Rich tweets in, very, very tough call. Too many that aren't even listed. I went with Oil Boyle, but the Orange Crushes were a close second on my list. Thanks again. You guys rock. Steven Severna Park, I voted Belch and Bassa. Gel Parking Cars was an honorable mention. He was great as well. And Eric and Nova, a.k.a. Gloria Splat, says, do I have to pick just one? Kind of impossible. If you want to watch the entire four-hour extravaganza or just kind of zip around over the course of today to kill some time, you can. The full show from Friday is archived on YouTube. Just go to the CBS Sports Radio channel there and watch the gratuitous sex, violence, and everything else in the middle of it. It was something. It was something. And I am very proud to deliver something that didn't quite look like sports talk radio on Friday that had a center of a lot of love. A lot of love. Thanks to Sean Mraz, executive producer. Thanks to Pete the Body Bellotti, on the wheels of steel, and audio director. Thanks to Andrew Bogish on your headlines. And Andrew Kaplan, the Wizard of Watch DA. Be good. Be good to one another. I'm DA, and the mothership disconnects.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.